Hello, everyone, and welcome to Success Shorts. I'm Aurel Chanel. Today, we're joined by Stacy Watson. Stacy is the Senior Vice President in charge of the Life Events Group at Fidelity Investments. Her group is responsible for driving research and strategy to build out an integrated and curated end-to-end experience to change the way people navigate the moments that really matter in their lives. Stacy and I drill down on the important topic of limiting beliefs. We explore how to identify them, how they can inhibit your ability to grow or adapt to what life throws at you, and how once identified, you can destroy them. This is definitely a discussion to internalize because this is something we all deal with. So I hope you enjoy our time with Stacy Watson. Let's go. Stacy, it's a pleasure to have you on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Before we kind of dig into things, I was looking at your background and it says that before Fidelity, you spent 19 years at Harley-Davidson. So I have to ask, what do you ride?
As you can imagine, I saw a lot of different kind of motorcycles in my almost 20 years with Harley. But the bike that stole my heart was a vintage Harley-Davidson. It was a 1955. Model 165 in atomic blue.
Ooh.
It's a baby Harley. It's single cylinder, super lightweight, and just like perfect for riding around town to get an ice cream. And another thing that's fun about that bike is it's the same model that everyone learned to ride on back in the day, including Elvis Presley and Willie G. Davidson, who's the grandson of one of the Harley founders. So yeah, it's a wonderful bike.
That's a lot of fun. And if I was going to pick out one, you asked me this before we got on, it would probably be the 48. I've always wanted to just get like a little street cruiser and just something fun to whip around. And I love the fact that you came from there and now you're at Fidelity dealing with a really important topic when it comes to life events. So I'm really interested to hear your response to the question that I typically ask people is, especially now, because we have so much going on with COVID and we've all learned a lot about ourselves. But given the overall pandemic and the precarious economic conditions, your group has done a lot of research to try to dig under what's going on there. So can you tell us all a little bit about what you've learned during this really unique time?
Life events is about helping people to prepare for and to react to these moments that matter in life. And 2020, if it's shown us anything, it's shown us that life happens, sometimes expected, sometimes unexpected. But I mean, this year, millions of people have lost jobs and encountered illness, lost loved ones even. And yet, even in these challenging times, life goes on. People are still getting married, having babies, getting divorced, considering a new home. And so we wanted to kind of look into that and launch this study called Moving Forward to really understand how Americans are handling these major life events during this pandemic and economic downturn. And we found some pretty interesting things. I mean, the first is that Americans are stressed. Anxiety is rising, and nearly 70% of the people that we surveyed say that they do not see any reduction in their stress level coming anytime soon. And they're worried about the things that you would think. They have concerns about the health of their family, their long-term financial situation, and job security kind of 6 months from now. And then obviously, I mean, there's been so much about education, you know, their ability to educate their own children at home or to pay for their child's college or to pay down their own student debt. So lots of stress on people's minds is the first thing. But there's good news. There are silver linings in this. The human spirit is just incredibly resilient. And despite all these challenges, this crisis has actually left people with more confidence in their own abilities than before. Nearly 80% of people are saying that they've learned that they can actually handle more than they realized. And lots of people saying that this pandemic is teaching them to be resilient, that it's helped them to actually put life and its challenges into perspective. And many people are saying that the experience has renewed or strengthened their connections with family and with friends. So there's a lot of silver linings here.
I think anecdotally, we probably could have led to some of that, but to have the actual backing behind the numbers is important because that definitely influences decisions that can be made to try to help broader swaths and to understand the problem that is facing all of us. I mean, I agree. A shared resiliency in this. At first, people were panicked and they didn't know what to do. Yet here we are. We're still here, and we're still making it work. And it's maybe at the beginning, if you were to say, you know, in October, we're still going to be dealing with this, or whenever this is, how do you think you're going to be handling it? Oh, I'd be at wit's end. But here we are, and it, you know what? Yeah, we're stressed, but we're actually doing all right. Like, I know that there's varying levels of what people are going through because of the economic or the health implications of this pandemic, but you know, we're still here. So it's about trying to reframe it and look at those little wins and being grateful along the way that helps to push through that resiliency. So thanks for sharing that. One of the things that I definitely wanted to get into with you, because we had the pleasure of speaking a few days back about, you know, what we would discuss today. We could have gone in so many different directions, but the topic that really piqued my interest was the one around addressing limiting beliefs. I think it's a topic that should be discussed more and more because it's actually something that's under our control, something that we all have in one form or another. And it's really about kind of being aware of them and the fact that they could be worked through. So on a personal level, when would you say that you first started to be aware of your own limiting beliefs? And how did you initially begin to work through them so that we can kind of set a course throughout the rest of this conversation as to how to address them?
Well, about 10 years ago, I went through a pretty challenging divorce. I probably should have seen it coming, but I didn't. And, you know, everything's clear in the rearview mirror. But it was stressful and my body was stressed and was kind of, you know, my shoulders were hunching in on themselves. And my doctor at the time said, you know, you should start doing yoga and that would really help you kind of open back up. And so I got into yoga and then I decided I'm going to take a yoga teacher training class and I'm going to learn how to touch my toes and be more flexible. And after a year-long program, I still couldn't touch my toes, but I learned a lot of other important things. I learned about mindfulness. I learned about contentment and about this thing called limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs are thoughts that you've told yourself so many times that they start to become your reality. Things like, I'm not smart enough, or I'm not creative, I'm not good at math, I'm not strategic, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too out of shape, I don't have time for that, I could never do that, that's just the way I am, and I can't change it. And so as we started to like learn about these things, you realize that they become self-fulfilling prophecies, but they're not actually true. And they hold us back from the things that we really want to do. And they kind of keep us in our comfort zone. And we end up sitting there and envying other people who are doing these things that we're telling ourselves that we can't do. And we don't necessarily realize that we have the keys to let ourselves kind of out of the cage and achieve what we want to do. So I think just recognizing that when we're doing this to ourselves, when we're telling ourselves something that and like kind of catching ourselves in the moment is so important. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And I say achievement is really born from belief and it's smothered by limiting belief.
You know, one of the things that I think going through those significant life events like a divorce or like losing your job or, you know, losing a loved one or something like that is that when you're in the thick of it, you were talking about how you had your shoulders slumped in and it was physically affecting you. And, you know, I went through a divorce and, you know, there were times where I didn't see where the other side would happen. But then once you stay with it, that stick-to-itiveness and you push through and that resiliency kind of comes through and you're out on the other side, you're in a different place then. So that when these things happen and when these limiting beliefs come up, you start to second guess your own limiting beliefs because you know you can now. You have a reference point to look back on.
That's right. That first step is being able to recognize them. being able to kind of catch yourself in the moment and to say, that's not true. That's a limiting belief. If I want to overcome this, I can. This is just a story that you're telling yourself. And I think this idea of just taking that small step forward, that first step, is often what builds the confidence and makes you feel like you're making progress. And to your point, I think that's what's happening to us in the pandemic, where it's sort of like, what's the first thing I need to do? Well, I need to get toilet paper. I need to get food in my refrigerator if I'm going to be locked down for 2 weeks. And it's just these kind of basic things that then got us to this place of, this is our new normal, and I can handle this. I can cope with this. I'm resilient, and allows people to start looking for silver linings. The other thing that I think is similar between this idea of limiting beliefs and what we're all experiencing in the pandemic is, don't be afraid to ask for help. If there's something that you want to do, that you want to achieve, you don't have to do it alone. You can ask, you can take a class, you can get a mentor. That's what we do here at Fidelity all day, every day, right? Is we help people figure out what they want to actualize in their life. What do they want to make happen? And then we figure out how to help them do that financially.
So I want to build off of what you were just saying there about what we do at Fidelity. Some of the people who have been listening to this podcast for a while don't know what I do in my day job. I actually do work at Fidelity. And I know that you're doing this great work around life events. So as you're saying, you know, internally, we do great work with employees and trying to empower them and help them through their life events. But we also look to do the same with our clients. So I'm curious, your group did this study, I believe you called it Moving Forward. And how are you all taking what you learned there and beginning to unpack that so that, you know, we can go about putting in place different learnings or different resources to help clients and employees like move forward through these and empower us to be able to handle the different life events as they come towards us?
Yeah. Well, I mean, any life event, whether it's marriage or divorce or illness or job loss or buying a home, going to college, any of these life events, they really have kind of three dimensions. There's the logistical stuff that you have to get through. There's the financial aspects, and then there's the emotional aspect. And what's unique about what Fidelity is doing is we're actually looking at all three of those things and moving beyond the financial to help people figure out how to navigate these life events. So we've identified 30 major life events, and we've got digital tools and resources that can help people really think through the next steps to make good informed decisions and basically move them from confused to confident. And where Fidelity can't help, we actually partnered with companies that can, like help finding an attorney or finding a real estate agent or a lender if you're buying a home. So we've really created this holistic experience to help people in a way that we've never helped them before.
That's really something else. And I mean, it is a very murky thing to work through sometimes. And to have to deal with grief and all the other things while you're trying to make financial decisions. There's all these different things that come into it when you're at times you're not thinking clearly, or you're thinking short term as opposed to kind of game theorying it out. Like, well, if I make this decision, how's that going to impact? So I think having those resources available, be it at Fidelity or be it through talking with a counselor or a really well-adjusted good friend who knows stuff, I think it's really important to have something or someone who you can rely on in those moments. So I want to actually pivot back to something we were talking about just before then, when we were talking about identifying those self-limiting beliefs, because neither of us are psychiatrists or psychologists, but I'm pretty sure we both play them on TV. But, there's really something important about being very cognizant about how we react to things and how we approach different things in life. And one of those things is to actually actively address trying to find those self-limiting beliefs. And, you know, in a little bit of research coming into this, and I love anything that has to do with psychology, I came across this really great article by Dr. Matt James And he laid out basically three basic questions that you can ask yourself to try to uncover your own self-limiting beliefs that I think are really cool. And I just want to cover them real quick. The first one is, what are the results that you've produced in the various areas of your life? So just taking a 40,000 foot view, what's going on in your life? And then the follow-up question to that is, where are your results not in alignment with who you really want to be? And then from there, it's like, what area of your life have you really tried to improve upon, but no matter what, it's just not happening? And that's really where you can drill down. Okay, why is that not working? You know, having some kind of framework, be it these three questions, trying to look at different ways to question your own life to try to uncover some of those, I think that might help you unlock some things. I think that this can apply to anything from saving for retirement to, you know, becoming fit or like you name it. And once you identify it, there's plenty of resources to help you get from A to B to eventually to Z. So, you know, to round things out from your perspective, how would you recommend that anyone who's listening begin to empower themselves to work through their own limiting beliefs so that they can start to unlock their potential starting now?
The first step is to recognize that when you're telling yourself this thing that you can't do or you'll never be good at, it's not true. It's just a story you're telling yourself. The second thing is make a list of the things that you would most like to change or that are most holding you back. And then take a step back and think about that. Is the biggest obstacle that's in your path actually your own thought? And then open the door and let yourself out of your own cage and create a plan to start to work towards your goal. And I think this idea of small steps, take a step forward. That first step is often what builds confidence and makes you start to feel like, okay, I got this. And then I think this idea of don't be afraid to ask for help. Reach out to someone, reach out to an expert, reach out to a friend. But like, we're all in this together. And moving from confused to confident, we could all use a little help with that.
We all stumble at certain things, but if we can have someone there to just kind of help us with those first couple steps so that we get into a good rhythm when we're trying to move out of something, you know, having that good friend that's there to, you know, call in to check in. Hey, did you do this today? How'd that feel? And then doing that for a few days, and all of a sudden it becomes a habit and you're going down a better road because of the fact that you're holding yourself accountable, but you're also having the support and the love of someone else doing the same. I think that's important. I think all the points that you rose there at the end were great.
And I think we're seeing that. We're seeing that in the country right now in terms of the study that we just talked about, that people did just that. They started taking small steps. And that started to build their confidence that they could handle this. And it built resilience, just, you know, kind of starting, taking that first step.
We're pretty damn resilient when you think about it. Like, if we were able to outpace saber-tooth tigers, I think we're going to be okay right now. So,
well, yeah, positivity, right? This looking for silver linings.
Yeah.
And the fact that so many people have been able to find some silver linings even during these super challenging times. I don't know, it just kind of restores your faith.
It does. And it's not necessarily going to happen overnight, but just remember, there's this growth mindset concept of thinking about yet. You may not be there right now, but you're working on a path. So you're not there yet, but you're going to get there. So be gentle on yourself and just try to stay that course. And Stacey, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about some of this stuff with us. This has been a lot of fun. And maybe at some point I'll make the jump and pick up a bike.
Well, let me know when you do. And thanks so much for the time. It's been a great conversation.
Most definitely. Thank you. And that's all we have for this episode of Success Shorts. Hopefully you found today's topic useful. And remember, have fun, stay curious, and keep it short.